Happy hump day, everyone. It's Wednesday. It is Wednesday. And I'm glad you're here. All right. We got a bunch of stuff going on. All the chats are open. We're live on Facebook. Hit the share button. We're live on Getter. We're live on Rumble. We're live on the Patriot Podcast Network. We're live on Cloud Hub. Wherever you are, like, share, subscribe, and all that good stuff. So, all right. We talked about all the distractions yesterday on We the People Radio with James Curry. We talked about the flying objects, the pipeline, and all sorts of other distractions that are going on. And now we have, what are we on, like day, I don't know. It's over 10 days since the train derailment in Ohio. East Palestine. And I was doing some, I was looking into just a bunch of stuff today, talking to various people, but it took, so Pete Buttigieg, I like to affectionately call Pete Buttplug. Yeah, call me a homophobe. I really don't care. I have had so much hate messaging today on Twitter. And I got an email the other day, people think that that's going to bother me. It actually, I enjoy that stuff. I enjoy when people come after me, because if people are coming after me, I must be doing something right. I must be ruffling some feathers, and I'm going to keep doing it. Like, you know, I've said this so many times. The only way you're going to literally silence me is putting a bullet in my head. And, you know, hey. Listen, that can happen to anybody, but that's the only way they'll shut me down. So Pete Buttplug decides to come out and say that there are too many white construction workers. This is something like, this goes hand in hand with all the equity hires. I mean, everything from the cockpits in commercial airliners are not diverse enough. There aren't enough women. There aren't enough women of color. There are people speaking how they want all female black pilots. And nobody's talking about getting people in these positions who are qualified, who actually want to do things, especially like in the whole airline industry. I mean, that freaks me out. I have not flown since before COVID. And I really avoid flying at all costs, especially now that, you know, everybody's dying suddenly. And I really don't want to be in a plane with a pilot and a co-pilot who both were mandated to get the clot shot. And one or both of them, it really only takes one for the shit to hit the fan, to die suddenly while I'm on the plane. And I loved flying. It actually relaxed me. I never slept on flights. I enjoy flying, but I avoid it at all costs. Will purposely not go places because I really don't want to fly, especially now because of all. I mean, when you have random athletes just dropping dead on the field, and then you have all of these airline pilots that were forced to get it, it freaks me out. I'm not trying to, you know, scare everybody. It's just a concern that I have, that I'd rather not put myself or my family in that situation if I don't have to. But obviously, we know it's the most convenient way to travel, long distances and things like that. And it upsets me because, again, I enjoy flying. But I enjoy driving more. But if I'm going to go to California, it makes no sense for me to drive. You know, like, you have to fly. But it is also concerning in the back of your head that, hey, and then people say, well, yeah, but the guy could drop dead anyway of a heart attack, even if he didn't have a vaccine. And yeah, I guess that's true. But don't you think there's more of a chance, especially now with what's going on? I mean, again, if you have not seen that documentary, Died Suddenly, it's on my Rumble channel. Go find it. And it's on the Patriot Podcast Network. And it's wild what these funeral directors are finding in people who are dying suddenly. But that's not what I came on to talk about. Sorry for this cough. I've had it for... and fighting it for a week. It comes and goes. I wasn't hanging out in Ohio with all the nasty chemicals, but I do have I do have lingering lung issues from 9/11. You know, when they said the air quality was good, Christine Todd Whitman, remember? They took like an air sample from under a sanitation worker's armpit and said, oh yeah, air quality's fine. You guys are good. You guys could just wear dust masks around your face. You're fine. People won't die 20 years later of cancer. No, everyone will be fine. Everyone. Yeah, okay. Anyway, too many white construction workers. So literally, and I'm going to play the clip from this moron. Neighborhoods of color, as they like to call them. You know, black neighborhoods. I grew up in one. I was the only white kid in my neighborhood. Where they're having, you know, urban renewal projects, roadways, infrastructure, and they have all these projects. And hey, look what they're doing to my community. We're getting a new road. And most people don't give a shit about that. It's just going to cause traffic problems and everything else because of these idiot workers. But in these black neighborhoods of color, everyone in a hard hat is white. They don't look like me. I'm a black man. I'm a black woman. Why don't they look like me? Well, my one question is, are they applying for the job? Because we want to talk about these equity hires. We want to talk about the affording everyone the same opportunity. But on the flip side, they want everyone to have the same outcome, which is complete bullshit. Nobody deserves the same. The person who's not putting any type of work in does not deserve the same outcome as the person that's busting their ass to get to that outcome. I'm sorry. Call me whatever you want. That equity nonsense is what it is. It's nonsense. It's complete and utter bullshit. So with that, the Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Pete Buttplug, who, you know, takes extended maternity leaves for twins that he did not birth, but probably attempts to chest feed, as they call it, with his little husband. 10 days. This one isn't 10 days. I'm sorry. We're going to get to that too. Just decides to ignore the devastating train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, which is a whole debacle that nobody's talking about. People are starting to talk about it now. Media is starting to pick it up because there are independent journalists now that are on the ground there, and they're making such a fuss about it that it's forcing certain media outlets to pick it up. Like there are media outlets in Pittsburgh picking it up, local Ohio media outlets, which I have a couple of clips we're going to play. But Pete Buttigieg, he is, there he is. I mean, he's just got that face that you just want to smack. Like he doesn't have to say a word. He's just got that face you want to smack. He's like the perfect Lego man. I just want to punch him in his suck hole. I can't stand him. The guy was a mayor. He failed there. And I'm telling you, yeah, as a failure as he is, don't sleep on the Democrats not wanting him to be on a federal ticket at some point, whether it's 2024 or 2028, because it's most likely going to happen. And it's really disturbing. Anyway, let's listen to this moron.
To work with your contractors, to work with your community colleges on building a workforce that reflects the community. We have heard way too many stories from generations past of infrastructure where you got a neighborhood, often a neighborhood of color, that finally sees the project come to them, but everyone in the hard hats on that project looking like, doing the good paying jobs, don't look like they came from anywhere near the neighborhood.
Right.
You can build community wealth that will help close wealth gaps in this country if we can tear down those barriers. But that happens at the delivery level.
Everything he said right there is just word salad. I don't even think he quite understands what he's saying. Because if people are applying for jobs, and I see they're constantly doing road work, where I live on Long Island, whether it's, you know, the local roads, the highways, it's like they get to an end of a highway and then there's a new contract and then they go to the other end of the highway and start over again, whether it's repaving, barrier walls, guardrail work, overpass work, painting streets and lines, whatever it is. Sometimes I think they just get contracts to set up their trucks and traffic cones and direct traffic and do absolutely nothing. Lawn mowing contracts, whatever it is. I see plenty of people of color in hard hats. Black people, Hispanic people, white people. You know, if you're going to apply for a job, apply for the job. I'm not seeing it. And maybe, listen, I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist. But for him to just come out and say there are basically, that's what he's saying, there are too many white construction workers. Where, please show me the activist group who was out there saying, hey, there aren't enough black people in hard hats working on the side of the road, digging up the streets. Please show me that, because I have not seen that. I don't believe it exists. But I would love to know where these people are that are saying, rah, 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 we're black and Hispanic, and we want to be construction workers. I'm not saying they don't want to be construction workers. I'm imagining the ones that do are applying for those jobs. But, I mean, I see, and I deal a lot with the trades and another business that I'm in, so I get to deal with a lot of plumbers and electricians and things like that. And the amount of trade workers of color that I deal with, it's a lot. It's a large amount. It's a large amount. The problem is, here's the big problem, is we don't have enough people. Young people, because they're all shot, they don't want to do anything, meaning they're lazy, they want to rely on the government, and they all become just these sick progressive liberals and want to put metal in their face and dye their hair a different color, and boys want to paint their nails and wait, you know, it's ridiculous. None of them want to do trade work. They want the government to pay for their college to become like some sort of philosopher and end up working as a half-ass barista in a Starbucks wearing a pride pin on their apron. No, they don't want to be welders. They don't want to be electricians. They don't want to be plumbers. They don't want to be carpenters. They don't want to be sewer workers on construction crews. They don't want to do any of that. They don't want to be hanging from a high-rise building washing windows. They don't want to be linemen. They don't want, and this is the problem. Unless what I find, whether it's the union workers, it's the steam fitters, it's whatever the plumbers union, typically it's you grow up in a household, your father was a plumber. He helps you break into the business. Or you have family members or good friends that are plumbers. There's a lot of people that just don't wake up and decide they want to be a plumber and decide they don't want to be an electrician, which I find disturbing, because I know plumbers making bank. There are plumbers I know, they don't even own their own plumbing business, which you can do. Get a van, get some tools, get a license, you could be your own plumber. And you can literally start your own business and make a lot of money. But even plumbers that I know, and I deal with a lot of them that don't own their own plumbing business, are making well over $150,000 a year, which, no, is not a lot of money, but that is a decent living for somebody that didn't have to go and get a bachelor's degree and waste all their time in college for a degree that they're never going to use. I think the higher educational system is completely ridiculous, and there's no need for it unless you're going to be a physician, an attorney, an accountant, an architect, an engineer. And then everything else would just be specialty programs. All of this, you know, nonsense education that people are getting and not using. And then they're complaining because now they're in debt and they want the government to pay for it, but they can't get a job to cover their loans. And they end up working in the fast food industry or waiting tables at a restaurant and other nonsense like that. Gimme, gimme, gimme. No, no, no. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to do a summer apprenticeship with a plumber and have to wake up at 6 a.m., even though it's a paid position at $20 an hour. Oh, it's too dirty, it's too hot, it's too hard to work. Well, that unfortunately is the problem with our younger generations. And then here, you'll get progressives in government that will now say there are not enough people of color in construction positions. So what do they want to do? They want to force companies to hire people of color. Just say, all right, listen, we have to diversify. We're just going to hire these people that don't really want to do the work. But now because we're forced to, we're going to give you a job and you're going to take it and not do the job because you really don't want to do the job. And this is everywhere. This is not just construction. This is in police departments. I mean, look at all the police departments around the country that are lowering their standards because they can't get people to the standards they want to take the jobs because none of them want to work as whatever it is, a police officer, a paramedic, a firefighter, or we have to make the physical agility easier so lazy people can pass because those are the people I want saving my life and protecting me. And then what ends up happening? You get these people with this mentality that they're owed everything and they're entitled in these jobs and they're not doing the jobs. They're not doing the jobs, right? They're not doing the jobs to the expectations they should be of serving the public or you know, it's like a revolving door. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But this guy, I'm sorry, but Pete Buttigieg is an equity hire in the Biden administration. He is severely unqualified to be the transportation secretary. He is a moron. He's a gay face and that's the only reason why he's there. He comes to work. His husband's at home. Now they have twins and he's going to, you know, ride a bike halfway to a meeting because the other half, he took a big gas guzzling SUV that weighs 1,000 pounds more with all the armored crap on it. He's going to talk about climate change. He's going to talk about this and Ohio basically gets nuked by a train in a sense. And he's talking about construction workers being too white. And then it takes him 10 days to actually comment on it. And he only commented from what I saw on Twitter. All he did was take to Twitter 10 days after the derailment, after the burn off of the horrific chemicals. And this is a small town. I think they said the population's like 4,000 or something like that. It's like 200 and something or 300 and something homes, maybe 400 homes. I forgot what the numbers were, but it's small. It's a small town. Fish are dying. Animals are dying. People are having problems with their pets. It borders Pennsylvania. Apparently there was a school in Pennsylvania this whole week. Half the kids were absent. They're home, nauseous, throwing up. And they're saying, well, we're monitoring it. From what I understand, they're not monitoring it. They're doing detection. And monitoring and detection are two different things. Regardless, they should be knocking on everybody's door. Instead, they're putting out tweets saying, well, if you want your house screened, give us a call at this number. No. They should be at every home, at every business. And you know, this all comes down to money. With the railroad company, I put up, we're going to put up $1 million to help, $1 million, multi-billion dollar company. They're going to put up $1 million and just say, hey, we could just shut these rednecks up in Ohio and just get back to running. So yeah, it's, literally, they had thousands of residents that were forced to evacuate their homes and the area. Train carrying toxic chemicals. Derailed, we know that. And we're when did that happen? It's like 10 or 12 days later. I can't even believe it's February 15th already. But these rail cars were burning like 16 and 20 hours after they derailed. Mandatory evacuation. I mean, they have videos of it. You could see. I'm not sure if they have any sound, but this is from Twitter. Look at this. I don't know if these have sound, but you could just see these rail cars burning. And of course, it doesn't want to play because internet sucks. It's all right. But you can see the picture. Look at that. Look at those rail cars just burning away. You saw all the pictures of the, I mean, it looks like a nuclear bomb, just a black mushroom cloud. Okay. Just crazy. And what are they doing? First of all, they're saying the air quality is okay. They know it's not. These people are standing behind podiums. I'm not even going to play them because it's such nonsense. You have the governor saying, well, I would drink bottled water, but I'd go home, but I would drink bottled water. I mean, the governor's like, yeah, I wouldn't trust the water. Carcinogens in the air. What's going to happen down the road with health issues? Are we going to see cancer clusters? And where are all the environmentalists? Who's on the ground down there? They said the EPA is there. The White House is talking, hey, the EPA has boots on the ground. The National Transportation Safety Board is there. And Pete Buttigieg decides to go on Twitter. I got a clip here from, this is a TV station in Pittsburgh talking about how Pete Buttigieg decided 10 days later to comment on it on Twitter.
Morning, U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg is finally commenting on the train derailment from East Palestine 10 days ago.
Yeah, he took to Twitter saying he's still concerned about the families impacted over this. He wants them to make sure that they have access to useful and accurate information. He went on to say that the EPA is, quote, on site and monitoring indoor and outdoor air quality to test for VOCs and other chemicals of concern. The EPA has screened more than 290 homes at this point. They have not found anything in any of those homes. Now, they have another 181 homes to go. If you want your home screened, we have the request link for you on our website, kdka.com.
So you have to request.
This is Democracy Now! Democracy.
You have to request to have your house screened, which, you know, it's they literally should have armies of people there doing mitigation of chemicals, monitoring air, and here's the problem is we don't know what's going on because the mainstream media is not really saying much about it. There are now investigative journalists there on the ground who are kind of forcing the media to start talking about it, but it's not getting the attention like it should. This should be on the cover of every major newspaper. This should be prime time story. What's going on in Ohio? And these are the same people who tell you that diesel pickup trucks or gas-powered pickup trucks are not safe for the environment. But this, everything's okay there. The air quality is okay. Fish are belly up. All the frogs that they turn gay are dead in the creeks that they call them. I call them creeks. They call them creeks. So as a matter of fact, I have Tucker Carlson spoke to a family that's 2 miles away from the train who is apparently having issues and side effects. So I'm going to play that now. We'll hear from that. It's like 3 minutes long.
For that reason, we're grateful to be joined right now by Nathan Izadik. He is a resident of East Palestine. He lives just 2 miles from where it happened, and he joins us now with his wife, Kelly. Thank you both so much for joining us. Are you concerned about being there right now?
Yes, we are.
Very.
Very. I bet you are. Are you seeing effects? I mean, it seems from our perspective, hundreds of miles away, like there are dangerous chemicals in your town. Are you seeing the effects of that?
We are seeing them locally and inside of our bodies, what we're experiencing. Local fish in our creeks have died. Oily sheens and coloration in our water. Constant smell of burning plastics and chemicals in the air. Issues with our dog vomiting, acting lethargic. It's scary stuff here, Tucker.
Well, it's horrifying. It's horrifying. It's a nightmare. And again, if that had happened in Washington, D.C., no one would be living there right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Is there any federal presence? Are you getting the sense that anybody to whom you send your tax dollars every year cares about what happens to you?
At this moment, unfortunately not.
No. So there are no EPA officials in hazmat suits, no one from the Department of Transportation's run, you know, walking around trying to figure out how this happened, how to prevent it again, that you have seen.
Nobody's knocking on our door.
How many of your neighbors are still there?
Our neighbor across the street and our next door neighbor, they came back on this past Saturday as well when we returned back home. And that was days after when they said it was safe to return, and we still didn't feel comfortable. And as soon as we got into the Ohio line, we immediately smelled the chemicals yet again. And since then, I now have the chemical burns and reaction rash on my face, and my throat is getting irritated again, and feeling very uneasy, very uneasy.
Man, I'm so sorry. And I'm just assuming, looking at the numbers, I've never been to East Palestine, but it looks like a lot of people there probably don't have anywhere else to go.
That's just the thing. We actually just moved here last May and got a nice 14-acre property, a place to kind of call our final home, you know. And
14 acres of contaminated
we're
land.
Of the town where the incident happened. But in town, I mean, it's a very small-knit area. And a lot of them are lower class and low income. And fortunately, we had a place to go on Sunday whenever we got the two-mile evacuation order. But a lot of those families, unfortunately, didn't. And this should have happened on Friday, you know, whenever.
When the initial crash.
Initially happened, and the chemicals were, for whatever reason, not released or known. And in my opinion, and in my industry, there's a paper trail with anything, you know, especially when it comes to rail cars. There are SDSs, there are manifests. And even if they didn't know benefit of the doubt what happened then, it's a simple call to the producer and they can have it to you in minutes. So there's a lot of fishy stuff going on. Yeah.
They know what's in their rail cars. Of course they do. Nathan Kelly, thank you for joining us, and Godspeed.
So they're having problems with their dogs. They're having problems with themselves. And they are 2 miles away from the crash site. And you heard what Tucker said. Imagine if this happened in and around the D.C. area. The place would be on lockdown. You would have every federal agency, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that had something to do with hazardous materials, every expert, every scientist on the ground. You'd have FEMA shelters set up. It would be wild. Nobody would be living there. And I would also say that for affluent areas too of this country. Imagine this happened, a train going through a beautiful area of, I don't know, just pick a place, wherever, where you had multi-million dollar homes and upper class people living. It would be a different ball game. But on the other flip side, imagine if this happened in a community of color. A community of color, the same exact scenario. They would be blaming anyone who was white that this would be a social injustice, because first of all, they had hazardous materials flowing through a community of color. Imagine if Trump was president when this happened. I mean, this guy just bought a year ago, 14 acres, settled down with his family. Is all of that or any of that land contaminated? Their people are reporting that the lakes or the creeks, as they call them, they all have this rainbow oily sheen at the top of them. What are they doing about it? Who's involved and who's not involved? And Joey Bag of Donuts is sitting, wherever he's sitting or wherever, saying nothing. We're not hearing from him about balloons, flying objects. We're not hearing about him from just sharing his thoughts on what's going on in Ohio. Nothing. Nothing. We're hearing from KJP, the, you know, black and just queer enough for the job, another equity hire. Oh, hey, Pete Buttigieg, the construction workers that are too white. I wonder if he has anybody there counting white faces on hazmat crews and cleanup crews. Are there too many white people that are now cleaning up this disaster? Pete Buttigieg, what do we have going on there as far as diverse workforce? Do we have equity hires down there mitigating all of the contamination? I tell you, it seems like they want to get this done as fast as possible, and I don't see how that could even be possible. I mean, I would have to say that you would have to be monitoring groundwater, the ground itself, for extended period of time for contamination, the environment. I mean, they had a controlled release of toxic chemicals. It was about two days after, okay? And also controlled burning off. Now, all of this is in the atmosphere. Now, apparently, the rail company said they had to do this to avoid a catastrophic explosion, which I'm really not buying. I think they just wanted to get rid of it so they can go ahead and get the cleanup done as fast as they can, get the trains running, because when the trains aren't running, they're not making any money. And we know this is all about money. They don't give a shit about the people in that town in Ohio. They don't care, even though that these fumes could be deadly if they're inhaled in a large quantity. Now, what happens with all of that stuff in the atmosphere? I'm not a hazmat expert. I'm not a chemical expert. I'm not a weather expert. I'm a Joe Blow American citizen with questions just like all of these people. Now, all that stuff in the atmosphere, is it lingering? Is it moving? And even if it does move on to the next spot, does it just disappear? Does it dissolve? Or now, does this mix with rainwater and cause a bigger problem down the road and possibly another area? They said there's already contamination in the Ohio River at a far distance away. You know, I have I think I have a video clip here. I'm going to look from Breitbart on the what looks like, and again, there is some sound to it. This is what seems to be the controlled. Yeah, I believe this happened on the 4th. And then this is the controlled burn of what they were doing. And you can see, hold on a second. Let me bring this up. And here we go. Look at that plume of smoke. Listen, if you're only listening to the audio, you got to go back and watch the video on Rumble at 1776live.tv. Look at that plume of smoke. This is, they're releasing it, and this is a controlled burn. What kind of carcinogens and chemicals are in this plume of smoke? And it's amazing what it looks like when it starts just blanketing the air. I mean, how would you feel living in that town? Look at the houses right there. Imagine that's your house and this is going on. Would you be a little concerned? How about the health of all of the firefighters and first responders that are dealing with this? The police officers, the crews that are investigating that have to do all of the, of course, it's going to be an ad now. We don't want that. That goes with, you know. Oh, here we go. We got it back. I'm on Breitbart's website. So, you know, of course, they got to throw their ads in. Look at that. And look what it's doing is it's go. Look at the atmosphere. Look at it. Look at all of that smog. It's not. Tell me that that's not harmful chemical. Just fumes being burnt off into the air. I mean, it's like I mentioned it yesterday on We the People Radio, like the Exxon Valdez spill, you know. This company's safety regulations, standard operating procedures, they all have to be looked into. I mean, I would hope that our federal government, you know, maybe House Republicans demand on what went on here and the investigations into it and why it's not being talked about in the media. But yeah, anyway, there's really no sound other than just the trucks running in the background. But it's, they were saying that both the Ohio governor and the Pennsylvania governor, they were announced days later that they were getting the reports that the air quality samples were coming in with readings at points below safety screening levels for contaminants of concern. And then they were evacuated residents were given the all clear to return home. But literally the Ohio governor said, yeah, but I would only drink bottled water. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. And you have Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, who doesn't say anything until 10 days later. And he's just focusing on woke issues about construction workers being too white and not enough construction workers of color. You know, but he did say, you know, he's in Twitter. He's concerned about by the impacts of the train derailment, and he's investigating the matter. He's not investigating the matter. He wouldn't know how to investigate the matter. And they're doing nothing, and no one is talking about it. And this is going to be big money corporations are going to be getting involved to try to quell this. And these people are going to suffer. And also, unfortunately, you're going to have every environmental attorney swooping in on this area like vultures. I'm hoping that there are some decent ones that will actually do something for these people who are actually suffering or will end up suffering, because I guarantee it. We will be talking about this in a year, 2 years, and 10 years down the road, that this East Palestine, Ohio is going to have unbelievable health issues and cancer clusters. It's like, and call it a Chernobyl if you want. I mean, it might as well be, but we have too many white construction workers. I mean, how do people like that sleep? How do they sleep knowing that they truly don't care about the American people? And they don't. They do not care about the American people. They care about their image. They care about their woke politics, their identity politics. They worry about the next mass shooting, which, oh, we just had at Michigan State University. And then, of course, what did that trigger? Well, that triggered Joe Biden to go on a tangent again and push universal background checks, assault weapon ban, which he spoke about in the State of the Union address. That's all they care about. They don't care about the people that got shot. They don't care. They know these people aren't stupid. They know that these people are going to get guns either way and shoot up places either way. This is just something for their base. This is something for their political action committees, their special interest groups, their gun control groups. high capacity magazine bans, universal background checks, and just go on and on and on. Everything's an excuse. Everything is an excuse. He talked about how he said in his State of the Union address last week, Congress must do something and enact common sense gun law reforms requiring background checks on all gun sales, which they do already. They do that already. Banning assault weapons. What's an assault weapon? There's no such thing. And high capacity magazines. It doesn't matter how many rounds are in the magazine. They're all semi-automatic weapons. But that's not the optics. I'm not going to get on a gun tangent. That's just something else. It's ban guns, too many white people in jobs, and we need equal outcome and equity hires. And everybody deserves what you get. And Orange Man bad. They're already blaming Donald Trump for the Ohio thing. Literally. Someone was attacking me on Twitter just before I went on the air about some law that was that Obama put in place about a certain type of brake system for the railways, and the Trump administration rescinded it. And if it wasn't rescinded, people actually said, you know, some insiders said, well, the derailment might have not have been that bad and devastating if that brake system existed, that special brake system. But now that the law wasn't there, the rail companies could save the money and not have to have that brake system. We're talking about a train derailment that had hazardous materials on it that exploded, burned off, whatever you want to call it, blew up. I don't think the brake system would have prevented the derailment. So, but again, you know, Donald Trump is running for president. This is now what all the progressives will say now. I put something out, well, Pete Buttigieg, what is the federal government doing? And somebody's like, oh, well, how about we asked Trump and he rescinded the law and it's because of him this happened. Of course, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say that for these people because they don't want to turn around and say, well, why did it take the Secretary of Transportation 10 days to tweet about what was going on? It's all nonsense. It's all bullshit. Hey, listen, if you want to support the show and a great company, which I happen to own, and you're into cigars or you know somebody that is, go over to mypatriotcigars.com. Pick yourself up some great cigars. I've been a cigar guy for a long, long time. And those of you that know me or you see me smoke on the show, I smoke all sorts of different types of cigars. I love cigars from Nicaragua. My cigars are from Nicaragua, mypatriotcigars.com. There's four different kinds. You can go there. You can use promo code CIGAR15 and save yourself 15% off. You get free shipping over orders of $100. And if you buy a box of cigars, you also get you get free shipping because it's over $100, and you get a $10 e-gift card. So go over to mypatriotcigars.com, promo code CIGAR15. So you can save 15%, get yourself cigars, get a loved one cigars. You can get a gift card, sampler packs, the cigar subscriptions on there, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, who doesn't like a good cigar? That's how I relax. Cigars are my yoga. That's a Steve Harvey term. And it's true. But some good news, actually, out of my state, New York, we have our vile, vile governor, Kathy Hochul. She tried to passed a law, social media hate speech law, where they basically wanted to monitor people's social media for hate speech. And I'm sorry, but there is no such thing as hate speech. Hate speech is just speech you don't agree with or you find offensive. And if you find a speech offensive, you're entitled to that, but it's still covered under the First Amendment. What's not covered under the First Amendment is threats to violence. We know that. We're not disputing that. But you can't monitor people's social media for hate speech if they don't like a certain group of people or if they don't like a certain political ideology, and it goes both ways. So anyway, a federal judge issued an injunction blocking enforcement of Kathy Hochul's horrible New York hateful conduct law, which is basically, it seeks to regulate hate speech on social media platforms. Again, no such thing as hate speech, sorry to tell you. And so the federal judge ruled that the law is a violation of the First Amendment, which prevents the United States government from regulating the speech of its citizens. Pretty cut and dry. We know that. It's free speech. So this was a ruling yesterday, U.S. District Court. Southern District of New York, as Judge Andrew L. Carter Jr., he sided with a legal blogger, Eugene Volokh, and the free speech-friendly video platform Rumble in their challenge to Governor Kathy Hochul's hateful conduct law. Rumble is the place to be, people. Get away from YouTube. I'm not allowed on YouTube. Most shows that I deal with are not allowed on YouTube. If a show is allowed on YouTube, there are some good shows on YouTube that I enjoy watching. However, they take a knee to get on YouTube so they can get the ad revenue and the in video ad streams and all of that stuff. And that's not important to me. What's important to me is about the messaging. And if I'm not allowed to say certain things on YouTube, I don't want to be on YouTube. That's why I'm on Rumble. So you should be following me on Rumble. That's the best place to be. And it's easy to find me on Rumble at 1776live.tv. Just go there. It takes you to the Rumble channel. If you don't have an account, sign up. It's free, just like YouTube is. And then you can join in the chats. And that is where it is. Rumble is the place to be. So go to Rumble, 1776live.tv. So yes, Rumble and this video blogger went ahead and challenged it and won. And now, you know, Zuckerberg and all of them can't, report back. And, you know, New York, hey, you know, this person's a hate speech. We're going to regulate it. The hateful conduct law, they call it. It compelled social media networks to report certain things and a whole other details. Bottom line is, it's unconstitutional. Screw you. Stick it up your ass. There should be, without a doubt, from our government, a national commitment to the free expression of speech covered under our First Amendment, okay? Even where that speech is offensive and repugnant, I don't agree with it, but it's free. You're not wishing death on people, meaning you're not threatening violence. Not a problem. I had someone email me the other day telling me I should kill myself. Okay? I'm not offended. I'm not offended. I don't let things offend me. People that get easily offended, I believe that they're out there looking for something to get offended about. That's all that's about is looking to get offended. I know that there are people out there looking for any chance they can, any chance they can get to get offended so they can cry about it. Stop getting offended. Live your life with not caring what people think about you or say about you, and you will be so much happier every day you wake up, knowing that you don't give a shit what people say or think about you. And that's where we're at. So I'm going to leave it there. Pete Buttigieg is a piece of garbage. He doesn't care about America. Joe Biden doesn't care about America. Mainstream media doesn't care about America. I'll be back tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about a little bit about the media reporting in Ohio. I have some video clips for tomorrow about a reporter who was tackled and arrested for doing his due diligence reporting on the big cover-up in East Palestine, Ohio. And we'll see what else breaks between now and tomorrow. We'll talk about breaking news today. Matt Gaetz, the Department of Justice, they decided, obviously, because there was no evidence, that they're not going to charge Matt Gaetz with any type of sex trafficking crimes, which, because there was none, it was all bullshit and made up, and it was an attack on him. So good news for the good congressman from Florida, Matt Gaetz. So remember, follow me on Twitter, Alan Jacoby, 1776. Go get me on Instagram, 1776live.tv. Rumble is 1776live.tv. Literally, it's a domain. Just go there. You get to my Rumble channel and follow. I'm on Getter, Alan Jacoby, 1776. And I'm on all audio platforms. I'll be back tomorrow. And then Friday, we have Freedom Friday again with James. So I will see you all tomorrow. Take it easy.